Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist here on Real Liberty Media, coming to you, of course, live right here at the moment. I'm not running a commercial today because I have a little something different, some exciting news. At least I think it's exciting. I want to check all my levels and make sure I'm doing okay. It kind of looks okay to me. Any feedback would be appreciated. Okay, so here's the story. Guess what? I finally have Jack working just the way I want it. Let me explain a little bit about why I wanted to work on getting Jack going. The reason is that, first of all, let me talk a little bit about Linux audio. I forgot to gather up my notes. I got to gather them up and put them together while y'all are sitting here with me, which is perfectly fine. I mean, this show is going to be a little bit different because we're going to do all this stuff live. Because I wanted to demonstrate, I really wanted to demonstrate why I wanted to do this in the first place. So, Linux is a great operating system. A really great operating system. I love it because, number one, it's free. And number two, it doesn't cost anything. Number three, it's constantly updated by the community that supports it. And it's not Windows, which really makes me happy to not be using a Microsoft product. Now, I just want to tell y'all that since last week's show, I have not been on my Windows computer for a minute, not even 1 minute. I was so excited because I was so close to figuring out, it looks like my mic is peaking a little too much. Let me quiet it down. Let's see, where do I do that? Right here. I'm getting used to all this stuff here. It's cool, but it's also a kind of a lot to get used to, for me anyway. But, oh good, I see F Windows, so apparently I'm coming across live. That's good. Alright, so as soon as I finished the show last week, I was thinking, man, I am so close to getting this thing working. There's got to be one thing I'm not doing right. So let me explain a little bit. First of all, let's just talk about Linux audio, your regular home setup. So let's say you install Linux for the first time. More than likely, you're going to have sound coming through your speakers, which is what you want Linux to do. So when you watch YouTube, you have sound. When you play music through a media player, you have sound. When you're watching movies, you have sound. Basically any application that produces sound is going to come out of your speakers when you install Linux. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine for a, standard home Linux system. That's what you would want. And then, let's say, for example, you want to make some kind of sound file that you want to record your voice for whatever reason. You want to send somebody a message, or you want to produce some segment to put on the internet or whatever. That's fine. You can fire up your microphone, fire up a recording program, and record your audio. Perfectly fine. Works perfect. Out-of-the-box Linux installation. That's not a problem. So I'm kind of a nerd, kind of a geek, and a redneck, and a dentist. So I kind of like to delve into things a little deeper. And when I started doing a show here on Real Liberty Media, I wanted to have some kind of production value. I wanted to be able to play like the commercial I cut, back when I cut that commercial, I just started up Audacity and recorded the commercial, and I edited it quite a bit, And there you have it. So the commercial was done. And of course, I had to bring in music, a music track to Audacity, and then record the voice part and then combine them and use a little fade out and a little fade in and basically edit the entire file and then output it as MP3. So that's like no big deal. My point here is that Linux works awesome out of the box. I encourage everybody to get away from Windows and start using Linux. This system I have set up now, this Linux Mint, it is so flippin' gorgeous and fast and efficient. Anyway, so after last week's show, okay, so I wanted to be able to pipe in other sources of sound and send it out to you. Now, that's not so easy to do with Linux and with Windows either. I mean, you have to have a special program in Windows to be able to do it. A lot of people use VoiceMeter. I used VoiceMeter when I was using Windows. But I wanted to be able to do that on Linux so that when I do my show, I don't have to fire up the Windows box like today. And I can pretty much tell you I will never be producing a show from Windows again. As a matter of fact, sometime this week, no, I'll bet in 2 weeks, within the next 2 weeks, that drive is going to get erased and turned into more storage for my Linux box. So last week I got done with the show and I thought, okay, there's just one thing I'm missing because my audio was horrible, not during last week's show because I just did a straight broadcast. I didn't have any kind of fancy stuff going on, or I was using Windows. I can't really remember last week if I was using just the Linux or, oh yeah, I think I used Linux and I piped the music over the microphone, which is fine, I guess. But what I really wanted to do was be able to play any media source straight into the broadcasting software and straight out to you. So it didn't come in through the microphone because, let's say I wanted you to hear some sound bite. And while you're listening to sound bite, you know, I'm rustling papers, like, you know, getting my notes ready. I don't want you to hear that part because I want the sound to go straight over the mic. So, after the show last week, I was thinking, okay, there's something missing. There's something I'm not doing correctly. And there's this, I'll warn you, some of what I'm going to talk about today is complex. Some of it I'm trying to keep really simple because, I mean, that's what I had to do. I had to simplify things so that I could figure it out. And, I'm not insulting anybody, I hope, by trying to keep it simple. I'm just trying to keep it simple. But one of the things that happens when you're running this kind of broadcasting software or podcasting software, or especially the Jack Audio Connection Kit, is what it's trying to do is efficiently capture and resend sound. And you want to do that with few glitches, and the glitches are called X runs in this particular program. And last week I was having like thousands of X runs, and X runs cause delays. And then when I listened back, this was the craziest thing, when I listened back to anything I was doing using Jack last week, it was like 100 times faster than what I recorded it, so I sounded a little bit like Marvin and the Chipmunks. And I was thinking, there's just something wrong, something I don't have quite right in the whole setup. So I had watched several tutorials on getting Jack up and running, and I can tell you this, that like every single tutorial had a different piece of information missing. So it's almost like by watching tons of different tutorials, you could kind of put the picture together. And I just noticed that the title for my show isn't correct, so, oh well, I'll have to fix it later, I guess. What was I saying? Oh yeah, so all these tutorials, it seemed like they had little tiny bits of information that were missing, so there, it wasn't like one single tutorial had every single bit of information that you needed to actually get Jack working. So I went back and I was reviewing some of the tutorials, and one thing in particular struck me last week after the show, and as soon as I straightened out that one thing, voila, Jack started working almost perfectly. Now, since I've had a week to kind of fool around with it, I've been able to, you know, kind of tweak some things, become a lot more comfortable with, you know, doing this. What I'm doing right now is sending you guys signal over the air. The one thing that I think wasn't emphasized in the beginning, and the reason I say it wasn't emphasized because, first let me tell you what it is. Each audio component that you have in your system is considered like its own sound card. Like when I, you know, 20 years ago when I probably built my first computer, that was a little longer than that, probably 25 years ago, you just had a sound card, you plugged it in, and you had a mic in, speakers out, and a line in, and maybe something else, but I think that was about it. It was pretty simple. One sound card, you know, easy. So one of the tutorials said, you know, make sure that your input and your output are coming from the same audio card. Well, here at my desk, I have a HyperX microphone, but I have Logitech speakers, and I wanted to hear over my Logitech speakers, but my HyperX system actually has its own set of headphones. So when I set up Jack, I had the input device as my HyperX microphone, and the output device as my Logitech speakers. Well, guess what? Those are two different sound cards. The card that feeds my speakers is coming off the internal sound card, and the thanks Cowboy Tech. And the HyperX microphone has its own sound card. Well, after the show last week, I went and changed the settings in Jack so that the HyperX microphone was the input device and the HyperX headphones was the output device. And as soon as I did that, everything started working perfectly. Like I didn't have any X runs. I didn't have any, you know, 100 times faster audio when I recorded than when I, you know, put it in. And from there, I started to be able to screw around with stuff. So one thing I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play you a song from VLC Media Player. And I'm going to turn my mic off so that you can hear it and I can rustle papers and you won't hear it. Here we go. Okay, not right now you should be hearing a little bit of music and my voiceover. Both of those things are coming from different parts of the computer. And also I probably shouldn't play that very long because that's protected music, I'm sure. I probably shouldn't have said that so that people don't come looking for it. But anyway, so let's do something else that's pretty fun. So I have the live feed from the storm. And let me just I'm just going to refresh that page. So this is going to be coming from the internet. I'm going to stop this. Yeah, I'm going to stop that other song because I just don't want to overwhelm the system, although I could play everything through here. So let's get the live feed from the storm down south.
At the angle that it's moving and the speed that it's moving,
I'm going to turn my
mic
off.
Should hold, the levee system should hold. Now, the point that he made and the point that I made, that doesn't mean that there couldn't be overtopping somewhere in the levee system. But there's a huge difference between overtopping and failure, and that's what we had in control.
Okay, so hopefully you get an idea of what I'm shooting for here, so I can have, you know, multiple sources of sound, and I can pipe them out to you guys, or my show, or my podcast, or whatever. Now, I wanted to point out a couple things about this. Like, number one, OBS, which is an open source broadcasting system, it actually does this pretty easily. The problem is the server we use to send our audio to Real Liberty Media, that particular program doesn't allow OBS to send its signal to it and then from it to you guys. So it's not like, so basically you need Jack Audio Connection Kit. That's what JACK stands for, Jack Audio Connection Kit. You need that kit to make all these, you know, connections between all these different programs and get your sound to go to the BUTT program, Broadcast Using This Tool. That's actually what it's called, Broadcast Using This Tool, the BUTT program. And the BUTT program sends it to the server, which, you know, then sends it to Real Liberty Media. And that's where you're going to hear the show live. And that's how we do it. So let me see what else. Okay, so one of the things that's really interesting about sound, I've learned so much about sound in the past couple months trying to bulldog this thing and figure it out. One of the things that is interesting about working with audio programs is this thing called latency. And latency is the amount of time between when your voice goes into the microphone right in front of me and the time it comes back either into my headphones, which I do have it coming into my headphones right now, real low though, because, you know, I hear myself and that can screw you up. But latency is the time it basically takes for the sound to travel through the system. So it goes in the mic, it goes in through this program, it comes back out into my headphones. So when I play something for you, I can hear it in my headphones. If I want to listen to the mic, I can listen to the mic feedback into my headphones. Now, right now, I'll just check and see what my latency is. My latency is 10.7 milliseconds. So 10.7 milliseconds, I can barely tell the difference between me talking and it coming back into my headphones. And I'm not using a kernel. Never mind. That's stupid. Basically, they have a kernel called a low latency kernel, which actually will even speed that up a little bit. I'm probably going to install a low latency kernel later this week. I haven't destroyed my system yet. Might as well give it a go. But I will be doing a lot of research before I do that. But the bottom line is the latency on this program is almost unnoticeable. Like what I'm hearing coming back in my earphone basically is so close to it coming out of my mouth that it's not disturbing me. Now, last week when I was screwing around with it before the show, there was a ton of latency, like a echo. So whenever I spoke, you know, that 7-second delay that you get if you call into a talk show. So, you know, so you talk and then the guy says something back to you, but you're listening to the radio and not listening to what you're saying. And then 7 seconds later, you hear what you're saying and it kind of screws you all up. Well, that's what latency is. So right now, basically zero latency. 10.7 milliseconds. It's almost nothing. I have a bunch of notes here, you know, and like I said, I didn't want to make this too complex, but I did want to share this information because I know that there are other producers. I know Hal is always looking for something, I mean, producers, content creators. Right? No kidding. Thanks, Beth. Oh man, I swear, please. I'm far from being an expert on any of this, but I have enough information. I could help anybody get this set up and going. And the beauty of this system is they've been working on it for a long time. So it works really good. Hopefully I can take a screenshot and I'll post it somewhere, either in the notes I'll either post it pictures in the notes, or I'll have to put a link to the photos somewhere, you know, wherever. I'll find a place. Somebody recommended, I think, Iger or something. But I'll put pictures up somewhere. Because, like, right in front of me, I have, like, a three-band equalizer. I have audio gain control. I actually have a mixer with all the bars for all the different connections I have, and it'll show me what level each one of those connections are at. And, you know, that's kind of the fun part of all this, is watching all these meters bouncing around and knowing that you have, you know, you kind of have this all set up so you can, you know, create content and kind of produce your own, you know, your own stuff. And it's really been fun learning it. I had no idea. I really didn't understand sound, of course, at all before. And I'm not saying that I understand it now, but I sure know a lot more about it now than I did before. In my show notes, I have all of the tools that I have used or tried. And I will put a link to all of the tutorials. No, I won't. I will put a link to some of the tutorials that I used. And the reason I'll do that is because some of them are really thorough and can almost get you there. Like if the one tutorial that... So this is what happened. One tutorial said you don't have to have your input and output coming from the same card, but if you don't, you might run into problems. And see, I didn't pay attention to that so much at first. Number one, I didn't even know that my Logitech speakers were on one sound card and my microphone was on another sound card. I kind of assumed that sound was from a sound card, and if you had multiple sound cards installed, that's basically what they were talking about. Like, I figured, excuse me, got a cough. I only had one sound card. Well, that's not true. There's probably 10 sound cards in this Linux system. And you may think that sounds like a ton. Like, why would you have so many sound cards? But there are some, I think, don't quote me on this, I think there are some, like, software sound cards, and then there's hardware sound cards. For example, the front of my computer, and it's a big ATX tower, it has front jacks on it for input and output. That's actually a different sound card than the jacks in the back for input and output and line in and that SPIDF or whatever it's called. Anyway, and then a headphone, like if you have a headphone and mic, it's got its own sound card, okay? So if that tutorial, that guy would have said, listen, make sure your input and output are coming from the same sound card. Later on, you might decide to have those two things different, but start off with, the input and output coming from the same sound card. Because when I installed Jack like 2 months ago, Jack works fine. I mean, Jack works fine. It's just like you start it up and it works. It's like a sound server, Jack is. And you start it up and it's purring away. Like, it doesn't have any problems. It's when you start feeding sound in and trying to take sound out of it that you might run into problems. But Jack's working just fine. Jack has worked fine since I installed it. But, you know, operator error, I didn't know what I was doing to get Jack to do what I wanted it to do. Hopefully, what you're hearing today. A couple things about the tutorials will be there, links in the show notes, and I will also put comments under each one, and I haven't done this yet, so my show, I've been posting my own show notes, which is kind of funny, because I've actually wiped out some show notes, because I'm an idiot, and replaced them with my new show notes, but I know how to avoid that now, I will put those additional links in the show notes for the tutorials with a little comments under them about what piece of information is missing from that tutorial, so that if you choose to set up an audio workstation like this, you will have a much quicker success time than I have had. It's kind of interesting and kind of funny, too. Linux people are awesome people. I mean, just imagine a community of people who keep this operating system going. It's kind of incredible when you think about it. It's not like a company that has put Linux together. I mean, it is sort of like a company, but it's not. It's a community of people who keep this thing going. And it's awesome that they do it. And it's really, I think it's what makes it successful, is it continues to grow. It has, you know, Linux has, I think, the most popular web server in the world, the Apache web server. You know, that's really saying something. It's a solid system, you know. It just keeps working. Yeah, I've never seen a Linux system actually crash. I'm sure it could happen. Like I said, maybe I'll do it this week, but that's because I'm thinking about adding a kernel and dual booting, or being able to boot from either one kernel to another kernel. We'll see. But, you know, even if I wipe everything out, at least I know I could get it back together like this, which is very cool. Okay, but what I was trying to get at is, so Linux people, when they're trying to tell you something, almost like any other hobby or any other thing you get into, interest you may have, it comes with its own lingo, like its own jargon. And nerds like to use the jargon because it makes sense to them. All those words make sense to them. When you're kind of a simpler person like me, sort of, you know, you have to kind of learn what they're trying to tell you when they use words. You have no idea what that word means, but everybody uses the same word, and, you know, you got to kind of work at it until you figure it out. So one of the things, and I actually even forget what the name of this thing is, but it's kind of like a module. And it said, you know, I kept running into these kind of explanations. It would be like, yeah, you just create this module, you know, and this will be your source, and it has two outputs, or you create this module, and it's going to be your input, and it has two output, you know, channels. And okay, that made sense, but, you know, I was thinking, okay, well, what's it connected to? Let's say I made one of those modules. I'm going to give you an example. So I'm using a VLC media player right now, which is, you know, Linux media player, one of several, but it happens to be, I guess, maybe one of the most popular, so I'm using it. Okay, so my VLC media player has its own little modules on this connection screen. But, you know, they say just create this module and name it VLC. And so you do that, and you're like, okay, well, now what? How do I get VLC connected to that little module, and how do I connect that module so I get sound out of it and send that sound, you know, either through this program to the broadcasting application and then on to Real Liberty Media, or what? I mean, how do you do that? Well, it turns out that once you create, it doesn't matter what you name that module, whatever name you give it, once you kind of get this system set up and working, when you go to the audio portion of any of your applications to select the output device, that module will be listed there. That's how you connect to that module. So you could, let's just use this as an example. I have one module called Media, which I use for my web browser audio to go into that module and then out of that module into the system so that you can hear it. It's named Media. I could have named it Firefox. I could have named it Chromium. I could have named it whatever, Brave or whatever. I could have named it whatever, but let's say right now I have VLC open and I'm going to send the audio to you over VLC. Well, instead of using the module that I made for VLC that's named VLC, all I got to do is go connect the audio from VLC to Media, and it's still going to come out to you because I have all my outputs that go through a master and then go to the broadcasting program. My point is, it seemed magical when they said you just create this module and you connect it here and there, but nobody ever said then go to the application and go to the audio selection and say use this particular output or input, whatever it is. You know, and so here's the deal. It's like they do a great job of kind of setting you up and getting you ready to go. But one tiny piece of information missing from that, and you're lost. I mean, it took me a while to figure out that, oh, these modules I'm creating, it's just a box. It's just a box sitting there. Once I select it from any of my applications, then sound is going to go to it. And then from there, I can connect that sound to something else. Like right now, I have all the sound that you guys are hearing is going to the broadcast program and then to our server and then out to Real Liberty Media. It's also going into Audacity. So every song that I've played or the live feed from the hurricane down south, that'll end up in Audacity in the MP3 for this show. Another example of a piece of information that was confusing as hell was the one guy who did, I'm not kidding, he did such a good job on his tutorial. It's a three-part tutorial, but I only used the first two because that's all I needed. The third part is about MIDI instruments, which are really interesting. You know, you can plug them into your system like a keyboard or a guitar, drum set, whatever, and you can, you know, create music and send it out also. But anyway, so this is really funny. The first video he did, I mean, I when I followed it, everything hooked up really good, like everything was there. The second video he did, he said, so this should be looking pretty much like where we left off. And it did, pretty much. But what he had done is he stuck another little module in between, like everything, with no explanation of what that module did. And so you went from the first video, which was awesome, to the second video, which all of a sudden there's this piece in there that he's using that he didn't explain how to use it or how to create it or how to anything. And it was like, oh, now what? So what I did, actually, is I exactly forgot about the newbies. So what I did was I basically started just messing around with the part that I had working. And after I kind of was getting sound in and out roughly where I wanted it, and the sound quality was good, then I started looking into what the heck that little module was. And this is really, you're going to think this is funny. I think it's funny. I think all of this is funny now. But man, I was really beating my head against the wall. You guys know, you've been listening, you know, for months, me talking about Jack Audio Connection Kit and saying, hey, you know, I've looked for help everywhere. I've looked for input from people, and I've done all these tutorials. So, you know, I've been beating my head against the wall for a long time. So basically, here's what he did. So he had created this module, and I actually have that same module now too, that takes his microphone input, and then he can manipulate the low, mid, and high frequencies to get his voice sounding however he wants it to sound, and that's an additional plug-in. So that's all it was. It was just a plug-in to manipulate the sound of his voice before it goes out. But he never explained that part. Like, never. So after I got everything working, I was like, oh, I see. He's just sending his voice into this little box to manipulate it and then send it back out. Now, when you see what I have done, it's going to look complicated. It's not really. I mean, it was hard to get to the point of making it work. But actually, it's really simple. It is really simple. And maybe one of these days, I'll actually do kind of the redneck tutorial on getting it going. Because I think it's really fun. Oh, Bear's joining the show today. Home studio, you know. I could turn the mic off and you couldn't hear him, but anyway, I think it's really fun. It's really been, it was really thrilling when I figured this out last week. I mean, I'm not kidding. I couldn't settle down for hours after I got it working just because it was kind of one of those awesome accomplishments. I think the only thing I've worked on harder than this was actually getting gaming going on Linux. And luckily, other greater minds figured that out, and really it's fairly simple to get pretty much, actually I take that back, you can get any game going on Linux. Like, you can get a Windows game going, you can get Humble Bundle, GOG, Lutris, Steam for Linux, all kinds of games out there, you can get them running on Linux. Takes a little bit of work, but you can do it. Some of them are really straightforward. They just get going. Yeah. Anyway, we're up and running now, and that's really cool. So never again will we have a Windows-based broadcast from the Redneck Dentist. I wanted to talk about a few of the programs. One of the things that I did And one of the things I'm going to recommend is there's a studio called KX Studio. If you're going to mess around with this at all, number one, you're going to need jack, and you're probably going to need Q jack CTL. But I actually have a feeling that KX Studio may have all of that stuff. KX Studio was kind of created for this very purpose, for what they call digital audio workstations. And you'll see that referred to as DAWs, digital audio workstations. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But let's just say, starting off, you're going to need jack. You're going to need something to control jack, which is Q jack control, which will open jack up, allow you to connect jack and make it start as a sound server, and it'll allow you to configure it, which is fine. I haven't used Q jack control probably since last Saturday because KX Studio actually has a lot of little programs that help you manipulate jack, and one of them is called Cadence, CADENCE. That program is what I've found to be the easiest program to configure jack, start and stop it, start and stop pulse audio or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of little things that you don't need to know the details of right now, but good programs. Like I said, they're all going to be in the notes. There's another, these programs, so Cadence is part of KX Studio, and this other program called Carla is part of KX Studio. Now, Carla has the patch bay. The patch bay is where you connect, make all your connections. It's a graphical user interface, so it's really nice. You can do all of this from the terminal, but I'm going to tell you guys just how crazy I am. A little sidetrack here. Once I kind of got all of this stuff configured, and I used to do a lot of programming. Like, I used to program in Visual Basic and wrote a lot of programs for different smaller companies, local companies. I wrote with three other guys. It was kind of a thing we did. But I'm really not a script writer, as you can tell by my rather unimpressive IRC account with no frills on it. But once I kind of got everything working, I actually wrote a script that fires all of these programs off in the order I need them fired off in. So now I just have jack start as a shell program, a bash shell program. And it just goes through each item, starts it up, and waits, you know, a few seconds before it starts the next one. But that's how kind of crazy I got into this. I got to the point where I actually wrote a script to fire these off. And what I mean to say by that is you don't have to do that. You can actually, there's little icons, you know, you can put them on your taskbar or startup, you know, wherever you want to put them. You can actually click on each one and make it, you know, start them all up. After doing that multiple times over and over again, I was like, man, I got to figure out a way to automate this. So I wrote a script for it. It's kind of funny. And that script actually, it actually creates all the modules I need to make the connections. And in the end, this is one thing I haven't solved yet. It's supposed to make the connections, but I haven't actually had success doing that. But once I get everything started, the program Carla actually has an area where you can save the state of the program. So after I made all the connections one time, I just saved that state, and it's like a little shell program also. So So after I get everything started, I just go to Carla's little menu item and open and start that program, and then all the connections are made pretty much automatically, which is cool. So I wanted to talk about just a couple other things. One is digital audio workstations. So I'm gonna kind of tell you the difference between what I'm doing right now and what digital audio workstations are. Because if you decide to jump into something like this, even just for fun, you're going to run into that term. And basically what a digital audio workstation is let's say I want to create that commercial or a commercial. Like I was going to cut a commercial for kind of this time of year for Real Liberty Media, or I should say this season, because it seems like some of the content creators haven't been creating much content for a while, and that's cool. You know, it's summertime, people have other things to do, and you know, we all know stuff going on with the Real Liberty Media. So there's, you know, it's a good time to catch up on archives. It's a good time to binge listen to, you know, some of the programs on Real Liberty Media. So I'm going to cut a commercial for that very purpose, to encourage people to come to Real Liberty Media and, you know, check out some of the archives. There's some great shows there. You guys all know there's some great shows there, and this is a good time if you want, you know, some content. You know, go and listen to Hal Anthony or Grimner, Moose Girl, or Rob Works. Who else is on there? Circle. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff there for you to hear, and it's entertaining, and you can gain some knowledge anyway. So a digital audio workstation is where I would do that. So I would actually sit down here. I'd put a track in there of some kind of music, whatever kind of music I think I'd like to have as a background. Probably not the same one I've been using, because now my horizons are much bigger. So I'm going to start looking at different music, and I actually have a site that I'm going to go to that actually protects you from having copyright violations, and get some music there. But a digital audio workstation, basically I would lay down the track of music, or I would record the voice part until I feel that I'm really comfortable with it. Then I'll add the track of music, and then I'll move the voice part to wherever I want the voice part to be, and then I'll fade out the music, do the voice part, fade back in the music, finish the commercial. So a digital audio workstation is where you would do all that, because it has all those things to do. Like right now, when I played that music for you earlier, I actually physically had to go to the mixer and physically pull down the sound so that you could hear my voice more clearly than if I was trying to talk over the music. So, digital audio workstations is going to be something that you run into a lot. And there is one, actually, it's native to Linux. It's called QTractor, and the tractor is spelled like tractor, and it has a Q in front of it. And there's actually a tutorial. A guy does a really awesome tutorial about QTractor. And that's what I'm going to be using to create any of my content that I do ahead of time and then upload to the internet. So, oh, and there's another program called Ardour. It's Ardour. This is all going to be in the show notes. So, thank you, Beth. Ardour is not native to Linux, but it works perfectly fine on Linux. I think the big difference, you'll hear this one guy in a tutorial say, the big difference is eye candy. And that's really true. QTractor you can make look really nice. I mean, to me, it's like I want things to function really well. I like a little eye candy, but I'm not, you know, like, I'll tell you, when I got Jack working, so many people said, you know, Ardour was the place where you should do all of your, you know, editing and producing, all that stuff. So I downloaded it, and I was working with it for a while, but it's pretty complex, let's say. It's probably really simple for people who do digital audio programming stuff, but for me, it just looked like too much. Like, it was a little bit overwhelming. Then I saw the tutorial on QTractor, and I went through the tutorial, and I was like, oh, I got it going. It's like, yeah, easy. It doesn't have all of the eye candy, you know. It does have a lot of eye candy, but maybe not as polished as Ardour. But I'm telling you, if you just want to get this kind of experience going, QTractor is the way to go. So I'm going to put in the show notes the programs I use, and I will put links to tutorials, and you guys know you can always reach me here if you want to work on this together. We can connect through this platform, or I have Discord actually set up too, so if you wanted to actually talk, you know, VoIP, we could do that. I'm really excited about it, and I hope that anybody who's interested in doing it, I hope they actually jump into it. And I hope, really, my hope would be that I could produce something, get more people involved in doing it so that they can share the knowledge with other people. And, you know, so many times on Linux, you can get into a forum and you can post something and then wait for answers. I don't think Jack is that difficult. I think that everybody who's done tutorials so far, like I said, has left out some critical piece of information that would have made it really successful. And I think maybe once I kind of understand the entire process I went through, it's kind of funny. This really freaked me out. I'm just going to tell you what just happened. So I have my computer on about a 90-minute sleep, and my screen just went blank. And it scared the crap out of me. I was like, oh no, everything just bit the dust right in the middle of this show, or at the end. But anyway, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wrap up here with just a couple more things I wanted to share with you guys. And then we're going to pull the plug on this. But I think Tuesday night I'll do a little show with some, you know, kind of the regular political, what's going on in the world stuff. There's so much going on, it's not even funny. It really isn't. I mean, I do have a little surprise for you during that show too that should be fun, coming straight out of this, being able to put this together. But one thing I wanted to do, this is what I'm going to do in the future. When you guys post stuff that I find interesting, I'm going to put it in my show, and I'm going to credit you at least as far as, and if you don't want to, you can just tell me no, I don't want, like if Cowboy Tech posts something, and then I use it in my show, like I'm sure in the past I've used stuff in my show that you guys post, but I don't give you credit for it, because I didn't write down like who put this in there. So in the future, I'm going to do that, and I'll just use your username, of course, because mostly I don't know any of your real names. But I'm going to do that. And now that I am feeling much more comfortable with this whole audio production thing, I'm going to start making content for Rumble or BitChute or whatever. I will always mention Real Liberty Media, and I did talk to Grimner about this before and told him I'd like to create content and post it on other places, and I'd like to use Real Liberty Media as a source to drive traffic back to our, you know, our site. And he said it was fine, so that's what I'd like to do. And I have to kind of get some branding in place for myself and Real Liberty Media. I think I have some of the images for Real Liberty Media. I use them when I post to Rumble, but I'd like to kind of put something together that looks nice when it goes up, and of course sounds good. And I think the sound thing we're going to have mastered here in no time. Okay, not mastered, but at least it's working, and I think I'm pretty comfortable with it, and I'll be more comfortable going forward. Anyway, let's see, what else did I have on my stuff? Yeah, I don't know where I'll post stuff, but I'll post it somewhere. Anyway, I know this was a really different kind of a show. Let me see if there was anything so important in the rest. Oh, I'll post this in the notes just so you guys have it, because you guys are so fantastic at kind of keeping people informed. I wanted you to have this. There are 15 studies that show natural immunity to COVID is best. I'm gonna put that in the show notes, because all 15 studies, I have the links to the source. I believe links to the source in there. So that'll be the tiny bit of regular stuff I have in my show notes for this week. And I really hope you enjoyed today's, you know, broadcast. I have been looking forward to this all week, and I want to tell you guys the truth. Like right before, so 20 minutes before I was coming on here, my wife and I were kind of sitting out on the patio, relaxing, talking about stuff, and I said, you know, I said, this is kind of crazy, but I am so anxious about doing the show today. And I had already told her what I was going to talk about, and she thought I shouldn't do that. She thought I shouldn't talk about like technical stuff, you know. I said, no, I said, you know, the people who listen regularly, they'll appreciate it, because they know how long I've been struggling with this. But anyway, I'm not kidding. I could feel the anxiety inside waiting to do this show, because you'll see in the pictures that there is so much going on that looks complicated, and it's really not. But you know how it is when you're not really familiar with something, that you know, you're afraid, like if something goes wrong, what are you going to do? Like one of the last things I did is I came down and I pulled all my gains down on all of those outputs, so that when I started playing something, it didn't like blast your ears out like Bear probably just did. And what else? I was just thinking of something. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it seems more complicated than it really is. And you'll see. I think when I stop this show here in a few seconds, I'm just going to take a picture of the screen as it is, and then I'm going to kind of uncover pieces one at a time. I actually have dual monitors, pretty nice dual monitors, and there's a lot of stuff, because I wanted to show you sound coming from the browser. I wanted to show you sound coming from a media player. Of course, my microphone's going out, and you know, play the, you know, commercial music that I used before from a different thing, and make sure that they all went out, and control all that sound so that it's pleasing, I guess. Anyway, you guys are awesome. Let's see, what do we have on here? What's playing here? Yeah. We'll leave with a little music here. Well, if anything went wrong, this is my theme song. It ain't my fault. Oh, too loud, I guess. But then, all right. Hey, thanks you guys for listening. I will see you Tuesday night, more than likely. Thanks a lot. Bye.